Reading from first canto, Srimad Bhagavatam, Queen Kunti's prayers, verse 38. As the name and fame of a particular body is finished with the disappearance of the living spirit, similarly, if you do not look upon us, all our fame and activities, along with the Pandavas, will soon end, or end at once. Purport. Kunti Devi is quite aware that the existence of the Pandavas is due to Sri Krishna only. The Pandavas are undoubtedly well established in name and fame and are guided by the great King Yudhishthira, who is morality personified. And the Yadus are undoubtedly great allies, but without the guidance of Lord Krishna, all of them are non-entities, as much as the senses of the body are useless without the guidance of consciousness. No one should be proud of his prestige, power, and fame without being guided by the favor of the Supreme Lord. The living beings are always dependent, and the ultimate dependable object is the Lord himself. We may therefore invent our own advancement of matter or material knowledge. All sorts of counteracting material resources. But without being guided by the Lord, all such inventions end in fiasco, however strong and stout the reactionary elements may be. This book was written in India. Prabhupada wrote these purports to the Bhagavatam in 1962 to 1965 in India. But what Prabhupada is in essence saying, that man, or women for that matter, humankind are gifted with intelligence. The human being is considered the crown of creation. There's so many creations and so many living entities, mobile and immobile, that the Mukutmani Jiva is the human species, considered to be the most intelligent, capable, and powerful, because the power is not physical power, but it's intellectual power, mind power, power of thought, power of mind. So the body of the human beings is not the largest body in the world, the physical body. Elephants have very big bodies and very big heads, but their brain is very small. So the reasoning faculties and the discriminating and logic faculties and inventive and creative faculties of the human being are quite developed and quite powerful. But Prabhupada is making a point here, and Queen Kunti is saying that, she's saying that the name and fame of the Pandavas, we are Pandavas, we are famous. There's certain families in India that are famous, the Birlas, the Hindujas, Albani or whatever it is. These people, they're famous. For what? For their money, for their ingenuity in the level and technology and manufacturing. So they've gained reputation in the world. Like someone named Bill Gates is a fairly familiar name, I believe. Because he has an intelligence, and he created something called a computer program, I suppose. That was his claim to fame, is it right? Microsoft something, software, is it right? Something like that. And consequently, he became the cutting edge of the computer age. One man, is it right? Because a computer, it's like a body is great, but without a heart, it can't get far. A car may be beautiful, but the engine is the real important part. So the brains behind the software and inner workings of the computer is basically derived from the ingenuity and inventive genius of an individual named Bill Gates. Will you agree with that? So he became, his name and his fame are worldwide, and he's very wealthy. And we hear, although we don't know directly, that he's a fairly charitable person, at least now. He has so much money, he doesn't know what to do with it, so he's trying to be charitable. That's nice. That's very good, what he's doing. But without higher guidance, Shastra Chakshush, or Mahajans, without the vision and guidance of Shastra and saintly realized human beings that realize God and actually understand the purpose of this world and understand the purpose of the human form of life, no matter how well-meaning someone is or how good-intentioned he may be, in one level or another, he may make a mistake, because to err is human. It is inherent in all living entities and also in human beings to have four defects, which we've heard so many times. And one of them is, the final conclusion of the defects is mistakes. We have the defect of imperfect senses and cheating, and what is the other one? The tendency to be illusioned. So when these three combine, the ultimate result of illusion, imperfect senses, and cheating is that we make mistakes. We have a mistaken idea about who we are, and we have a mistaken idea about the purpose of human life, and we have a mistaken means wrong. You've taken it wrongly. We have a mistaken idea about the purpose of this material world. As the Christians wrongly say, God created this world for us to enjoy. This is the Christian theology. God created us to serve Him, and He created the material world for us to use, to serve Him in this material world, and to use all the objects in this material world for His dedicated and consecrated to His loving service. We are for His pleasure. This world is for His pleasure. Your house is for your pleasure. You built it. You paid for it. And your family and your wife is for your pleasure, and that because these are your relationships and your creations. So God has relationships and creations. Do you agree? Yes. So as you have a house, He has a world. As you have a small little part of this world in your property, He owns millions of planets. Sarva Loka Maheshwaram. Sarva Loka Maheshwaram. There's many. You have 10 acres farm or 50 bighas in Haryana, so you think you're a big zamindar. But Krishna, the Uparwala, is the ultimate zamindar, because he's Sarva Loka Maheshwara. He is controlling and owning every single planet and every single grain of dirt and every drop of water on every single planet. He is the Ishavasyam Idam Sarvam. He is the proprietor, the owner. Who owns this building? Oh, this is owned by Mr. Hinduja, Acha. But we bought one floor in his building. This is the Hinduja building. This is the this thing, that thing. So this is the Krishna world. Bhagavan Jagat. This is Bhagavan's universe. It's not, I'd say, you have phrases like, this is a man's world. Women love that. That's been a basic chauvinistic slogan for the last 20,000 years. It's a man's world, and I hope the women understand it. And if they don't, we will help them very quickly understand that they are not in control. Right? That's a basic outlook. And psychology and modus operandi, method of working, operation, modus operandi. So Prabhupada is saying that when we're disconnected with the proprietor of the world and we don't actually understand basic spiritual knowledge of who we are, what is this world, what is my place in this world, what is my function in this world, and what should I contribute to this world in relationship to the creator, owner, and proprietor and controller of this world, then we make mistakes because of our misconception and our false, illusory, make-believe ideas about who we are and what is this world and what is its purpose. So this is basically what Prabhupada's saying, that we're creators, we're inventors, we're controllers, we're kings, we're politicians, we're CEOs of international companies. Very good. These are all gifts of God. He is the strength of the strong, the intelligence of the intelligent, and the thinking of the thoughtful. But if intelligence of the human being is not connected with God, he will invariably calculate from the center, being himself. I am the center, and which is wrong. God is the center. The center of this body is the Atma. That's correct. But the center of the Atma is God. If God withdraws his blessing, if God withdraws his power, if God withdraws his mercy from the body center, meaning Atma, me, then I am finished operating this body. I am dead. I may want to live, and I may want to do so many things, but if God says N-O, then it's G-O. Now go. Leave this body behind. Because so we think I am the controller of this body. We're not. God is. I am the controller of this world. I'm not. God is. So unless one understands that the controller and proprietor of my very body is God, and the controller and proprietor, which means owner, of this material world is God, then we're completely fallacious in all our dealings. Stumbling, bumbling idiots that create wonderful creations like microwave telephones, what we call cell phones, which is microwave technology, and they increase the microwaves in the atmosphere more and more to facilitate rapid single signal transmission, rapid communication, and flawless reception of the mundane vibration, the mayic vibrations, asuric shabda. So people can be 20 feet underground and talk very clearly on their cell phones. That means that the microwaves are impenetrating every aspect of water, air, ether, and earth. And because of that, they're altering the very structure of this material world. So consequently, there will be reaction. Action, every action has an equal and opposite reaction. You disturb me, I disturb you. Right? So we're disturbing the arrangement of God, and we're disturbing nature. We pollute the air with our intelligent combustible engines and our jet engines. So we destroy the layer of ozone because of air pollution which surrounds the earth, because God is a very clever creator, because the earth is floating in sky, and the sky is full of intense solar radiation. So most planets, because of the intense solar radiation, they are burned to a crisp. They are hard planets of sand and dirt. But the Lord wanted to provide the earth as a place for the jivas, his jivas. Like the father may think, my family was poor, but now I'm wealthy, so I'm buying a huge farm in Haryana, and I will leave this for my children to enjoy and play and enjoy this farm. So Krishna has created this earth planet as the karma stan for his jivas, for his family of living entities. And he's a very expert creator, so he surrounded the planet Earth with a layer of ozone, which is O3. There's O2, which is oxygen, and ozone is three molecules of oxygen clumped together becomes O3, right? Ozone. And that particular combination of elements, which forms a subtle type of sky or gas called ozone, has a reflective interaction with the solar rays so that it filters them and diminishes them. So the good ones come in and the bad ones don't. But we're very clever. We don't want to work in harmony with God or with the Zamindar, the Uparwala Zamindar. So we create air pollution and so many things, and the reaction is there. People are getting skin cancer everywhere in the world. Formerly, melanin and the production of melanin in the skin of hot climate people generally have darker color skin that was sufficient to refract the solar rays and prevent their skin from receiving cancer. Now it doesn't work anymore. The melanin is destroyed because the is ineffectual in the tan-skinned humans in the hot climates because the ozone is destroyed and the gamma and alpha rays are coming straight on in, and millions of Indians are getting skin cancer, and millions of Africans and all kinds of dark-skinned people. Krishna arranged dark skin because he's intelligent. So the scientists are doing wonderful work. And then microwaves, already they've been proven. If you want to have a lot of fun on the internet, type in on Google, dangers of cell phones. I know you'll be scared and afraid to do that. But if you do that, it may raise your hair on your head for 1 second, and you'll say, anyway, that's life, Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna, I'm a drug addict. You can type in dangers of heroin addiction, dangers of cocaine addiction. Yes? Dangers of drinking whiskey. You'll find all good things? No. So similarly, whiskey, heroin, and cocaine are nothing. It's your problem. You take it, it affects you. Your cell phone affects me. If I'm in a house with Wi-Fi connection like this house, then I'm getting cooked by microwaves 24 hours a day. My brain and my subtle being is getting fried, literally fried on a frying pan like a chicken egg. The egg of a chicken is a very soft matter, fleshy matter, like the brain. As we studied medicine, we dissected human beings, dead ones, freshly dead. And every medical school does the same thing. So don't get too scared about it. It's not an American phenomenon. And we saw the brain. So it's a fleshy matter. And so that every minute, or I think it's every second, every second you hold a cell phone. Hi, baby. Acha. Oh, your husband's gone to China. That's nice. Acha, for 2 weeks. Okay, I'll see you tonight. I'll be there. And then every second you're talking prajalpa. Nonsense, asuric shabda, your brain is getting fried 500 brain cells are getting fried and destroyed and killed because of that microwave. Another nice experiment is you take a glass, not a metal glass, but a glass, conch, put a glass of water there and call your husband on a cell phone. He's there, somebody, your brother's son. Say, so you go da da da, and then his phone rings, and your phone is connected, right? Your phone, and put it on the glass of water, and it'll boil the glass of water. Have you heard of microwave technology? Have you ever cooked your meal on microwave? You don't. What's it called? Microwave? No, microwave oven. No one has one. Raise your hand if you have one. Everybody. That's the same technology as a cell phone. Yes. So it cooks your food, but it doesn't cook your brain? Are you so illogical and so foolish you can't put it together? Therefore, anybody that has any brains left to even think clearly. He will get hands-free because the, not Bluetooth, but by a wire. If this is connected by a wire, that's called hands-free. And then that's an electric transmission. The phone is still the rays are coming into the room, but because it's 3 feet away and you're talking with these earplugs, it's a hassle because it gets entangled every 5 seconds. And you're walking in this, you know, in your office, you know. So then that reduces by tremendous amount, practically not very much. But we don't care. Generally, the foolish, ass-like human being who's become so brainwashed, the proof that we lost our intelligence is that we have no logic. We don't understand logic, and we become fooled by scientific propaganda. So then what will people say? The very clever, smart aleck, as we say. The smart aleck is a phrase in America. The very smart, clever guy will say, anyway, Swamiji, we have 500 billion brain cells. So if we knock off 500 every minute, what's the loss? Just like if the train, you know, blows up and 10,000 people die in India, no one really says, oh, 10,000, we have 2 billion. What's 10,000 people blew up on the train? Because, you know, we have 2 billion, yes? That general blasé, laissez-faire, blasé attitude is pervading most of the people of Kali Yuga. They could care less about anybody. And now they become so foolish and irrational that they don't even care about themselves. Now that's really amazing. It's one thing you don't care about the guy across the street, or earthquake in Gujarat, 50,000 people died. So what, man? What do I care? I'm not in Gujarat. That's the growing attitude amongst the human beings. And if you're a little honest and sensitive, you can perceive it everywhere, and it may be coming in you. So then they say, well, Swamiji, you know, I got 500 billion, so let's figure it out. 500 a day, 500 a minute, yes? A second. 500 a second. So I talk for 2 hours a day. So you start saying, wait a minute. 500 a second. How many seconds do I talk on the phone? Especially if you're women. Because women everywhere don't mind. We have our natures. Men are aggressive, puffed up, and proud. Women are submissive, and women love to talk a lot. Men also now are talking a lot. So you all die together. All the women will die, and then all the men will die with cell phones stuck on their ears. Their ear will melt, their brain will melt, and the cell phone will melt. Because some people say, oh, my reception is no good. I don't get reception. So then the cell phone providers, whatever they call it, they crank up the vibration. Just like the doctors, they would do x-rays. So different people, due to the body mass or the fat or the location of the x-ray they want to do, they crank up the x-rays. Yes? Excuse me? X-rays, or no, microwaves. Yeah, so everyone's uptight about x-rays, and the doctors have a lead shield. They have a whole lead thing. You're getting zapped by the x-rays. I don't know, it's kind of going all out of fashion, I suppose. X-rays still going on? So, but they stand behind a 3-inch thick piece of lead, like this, and okay, zap, ooh. But they have, you know, lead, because lead is a type of metal, L-E-A-D. Lead, and that protects the operators, radio technologists, etc., from the getting zapped. Now, the level of microwaves being, let's say, broadcast into the atmosphere in India is 10 times more than the topmost legal limit in any country outside of India. Because India, anything goes. This is the lawless land of India. The law here is bribing and paying money. That is the law. The law is money. Whatever law you want, you pay the money, that's the law. India is also a very special country. It's the only country in the world where every single roadway and every single rasta and path is one-way traffic. So you're looking puzzled because you went on a divided road and some people are going north and some people are going south. So it seems that there's two-way traffic, yes? But I say, from my experience of 25 years in India, that actually, in reality, every single road is one-way traffic. And what does that mean? It means whatever way you want to go on the road, that's the way the road goes. If the road is north and you want to go south, you simply go down the middle of the road at 30 kilometers an hour, and everyone else is coming 100 kilometers in the opposite way. You don't turn on your lights. You don't get in a slow lane. You don't drive in a shoulder. You drive right down the fast lane at 30 kilometers an hour in your tractor at 11 o'clock at night with no lights. This happens. Do you agree? Have you seen all kinds of idiots like this on the road? I have. And if you haven't, then you're completely blind. So my conclusion is that this is the only country, very special country in the world, because it's all one. And so all the roadways, someone says, oh, I got, some people come from the West and they say, the gas station's on this side of the road, but the road's divided. So the driver's driving the wrong way. And the people come from America. I was with some new people going from Vrindavan to Delhi. They said they were so scared. Stop, wait, where are you going? You're going the wrong way. I said, relax, this is India. Everything's going the wrong way. Everyone's going the wrong way. It's fine. And he said, no, this is dangerous. I was just chanting japa and smiling. And he went for 5-6 kilometers the wrong way because that was easier way to get to the gas station, or we say petrol station. Have you experienced this? Have you done it? Yeah. Taxi drivers do it. I do it. Women maybe less. They tend to be more timid. Men are very bold and foolish. And women are timid and sensible. Men are bold and foolish. And so, hey, I can... And boom! One lorry comes out of the fog and Haribo and the Tiger. The lorry meets Honda. And Honda gets liberated. And the lorry keeps on rolling. So Prabhupada's basically saying that we should connect our intelligence and our ideas. Is this a holistic idea that I'm coming up with? Is this a holistic invention? Is my idea, my conception of society or science, is it in harmony and in tune with the tenor and direction of Shastras and saintly people that have been overseeing and guiding this world in a very peaceful and productive and harmonious way for thousands and thousands of years? Because every politician and every king was guided by visionaries. No matter, even the demoniac kings, they were guided by visionaries, by ministers, what we call mantris, ministers and Brahmins. And they would say, they would always connect all the political activities and all the functions of all the varnas with God, with Shastra. Because Shastras are describing the happy way to live, the harmonious way to live in a very synergistic way. Man, God, man, demigods, and God. The Swargavasis, the Bhumivasis, and the Vaikunthavasis. There's an interrelationship with the spiritual entities, the Vayamiti or intermediary entities, and the entities in this world. But within a short span of the last 100 years, the clever, atheistic, proud human beings have basically destroyed the air, destroyed the water, destroyed the earth, destroyed the ether and the air, and destroyed the physical and mental health of every human being and every species on this planet because of disconnection with God, saints, spiritual advisors. So therefore, every day, how many species disappear? Every day, with all our wonderful intelligence and our mistaken conceptions and our misconceptions, every day the human beings and wonderful scientists have created such a situation, every day one species of life becomes extinct. So if you extinct me, the reaction is that I will extinct you. What goes around comes around. It's karma. Papa karma, you do sin, you get the reaction, a sinful reaction. You do good, you get a good reaction. So human beings are killing living entities everywhere, making all living entities extinct, creating suffering and distress and fear to every living entity. So you think you can keep pushing and pushing nature like that and not get a reaction where we become full of suffering, distress, and fear? And who, you ask any modern man or woman in a city, are you full of distress, suffering, and fear? And you'll have to say yes. Because when you were a child, maybe you could go to the local park and play without fear. You could go, park, and what do you call a park? There's every little colony, there's some park, and there's swings and sandbox. You could go there and your sister and meet the other kids, and you could play, and there's no fear of kidnapping, right? There was no fear that someone's going to snatch your child, slit his throat, take his body to Apollo Hospital and sell his heart and kidneys and liver, right? That fear is there because body, what do they call it? Body traffic? Organ traffic. Organ trading is huge in India. There's a fantastically huge organs. I don't mean music. Organ mafia that is kidnapping children and young people and anybody they can find all over India because there's big money in hearts. There's big, you know that? Yes, no, yes, no. Go to the hospital and ask them how much it costs for a kidney. 5 rupees? How much a kidney? 1 lakh? So that means your body has 2 kidneys. That's 2 lakhs, yes? Let's be honest. How much is a heart worth? A healthy heart? Who knows? Anyone knows? Roughly? 5 lakhs. So, okay, kidneys we know is how much? 1 lakh. So hearts are more valuable, so say 2. And then lungs, all these, then there's pancreas, all the things are valuable. Everyone, all the organs in the body are valuable. There's kidney transplants, there's heart transplants, what else? Liver transplants, or kidneys, pancreas, eyes. So many organs, this clever scientists, very clever, they're very intelligent, they developed this medical science. But because there's no connection with God, and there's no connection with God, therefore, Apollo Hospital and all these hospitals, all so-called humanitarian, helping the people, healing the sick, they are all demons and asuras because they are buying these murdered children. This is the real truth. When you walk into the hospital, where do they get the hearts from? Hearts are falling from the sky. They go down to the local big town store or big bazaar and buy a few hearts. They're buying them from someone. You think dead bodies? You think there's so many people or so many dead bodies are around to supply the demand? No way. Because dead bodies in India, are they buried? Are they buried? They're burned. Is there any heart left when you burn a body? No. So they dig up Muslim graveyards to get bodies? I doubt it. If they did, it would be in a paper instantly and there'd be terrorists blowing up every hospital in the world, isn't it? So how do they get the hearts? They get them from America? No. We are blind. We are foolish. We are stupid. We don't think. But people that do think and do investigations and write articles, all these facts are available. So this is what Prabhupada's talking about. The people have no connection with God. The only connection is money. Money is everyone's God. So because of money, it's a mistaken concept that money is a purpose of life, that sense enjoyment is a purpose of life. That's a mistaken concept, disconnected with God. Therefore, there's all kinds of sin being perpetrated, all kinds of murder, exploitation. So even today, we're getting reactions. So everybody in the cities and even the countries is full of distress, fear, and anxiety. Because we, as human beings, have caused so much distress, fear, and anxiety. Every living entity on this planet, including human beings, is in distress, fear, and anxiety because of human beings. We are in distress, fear, and anxiety. Do we not have fear of terrorists? Do we not have fear of thieves? If you don't have fear of thieves, why do you have guards in your colony? Why do you have gates in your colony? I've never seen such a thing. Have you ever been to America? Have you ever seen gated colonies and guards walking up down the street with whistles? I never saw. You people, the people in India and around the world nowadays are living totally in fear, isn't it? But people say, oh, no, you're life, man, booze, food, money. Look at these clothes, man. We got American shirts and American pants, Gant and, and this and that or whatever they have. And Pierre Cardin, oh boy, look at this imported French, this, that. Throw out the money. You have 27 locks on your door, 10 German shepherds, 5 guns, and guy walking up and down the street, and gates everywhere, locking, security guard, who? Kone. Okay, open up. You can come in. How unbelievable. And there's parks everywhere in Delhi. They're empty. Only dogs live there and drunks. Drunken people are enjoying these beautiful parks and dogs. And they're locked at six, sunset, and they're open at sunrise. Because they're, you know, going there at night, you get mugged, robbed, raped, etc. This is life. This is reaction to a godless society. So the Prabhupada's saying this, it's just a big mess. We become famous. India's famous, superpower, world power. India's a mess. The whole world is a mess. So Queen Kunti is saying, okay, we have attained so much wonderful things, but it's all your mercy. Because she's a devotee. She's a bhakta. And she's saying, we stand tall and we stand successful with your support, with your guidance and your presence and your guidance and teachings and your presence and support. But you're leaving us now, leaving Hastinapur to return to Dwarka. Okay, you've extended your stay here. You stayed a few months, but in your absence, if you don't look upon us, looking upon someone means you're connected with them, isn't it? If I'm looking at you, I'm connected. And if I look at you in different ways, then we connect in different ways. If a man looks at a girl, hey, and she looks, hey, then there's some kind of heart connection. Just, hey, hey, okay. So she's saying in this verse, she's saying, Bhavato darshanam yarhi rishikanam ifeishitu. Says, Bhavato darshanam yarhi. Says, your bhavata, your darshan. Says, without your darshan, Bhavato adarshanam yarhi. Without your darshan, without your touch. Darshan means I'm touching you. If I'm looking at you, I'm touching you. It depends on my bhavana, my bhav and my idea. I'm touching you in different ways. So she's saying, without connection with you, my dear Lord, without, glance means connection, and connection means thinking, feeling for each other. So she's saying, we're successful because we have received the glance, your glance. We have received your mercy, so we have name. We have received your mercy, so we receive fame. This is the intelligent human being, that everything is the mercy of God. So she's nervous. You're leaving us? Oh, and I don't have that much faith in my sons, the Pandavas. There's so many demons, the remaining sons of all the slain kings that my sons polished off. They're very much revengeful mood because they're Kshatriyas. You all, hey, you Pandavas killed my father, my grandfather. Well, I'm 10 years old. I'm only 12 years old during the battlefield, but I'm practicing. I'm growing up. I couldn't fight. Now I'm 20. So 2, 3, 4 years down the line after the Kurukshetra battle, all the children and grandsons of the deceased kings grow up. They're going to say, oh yeah, you know, that's okay. You know, my father and grandfather was slaughtered by the Pandavas at Kurukshetra. Live and let live. They're good guys, you know. Pay your taxes. Pay your taxes to Yudhisthira because he's the emperor. There will be revolution. There will be reaction. They'll be attacking. And she said that in the previous verses. The envious survivors of the slain kings will combine together and make unified allies. Right? And counterattack. And if you are in Dwarka, I don't know. I don't think we'll make it. So the devotee always feels dependent on the Lord. He always feels the glance and connection of the Lord in his life. And he doesn't make any decision without thinking, connecting with the Lord. How do you connect with the Lord? You connect with the Lord through Guru. You connect with the Lord through Brahman, Brahminical advisors. And you connect with the Lord and receive the darshan. Darshan means philosophy. Darshan means glance. Darshan means touch. Darshan means mercy. You connect with the mercy, glance, darshan, and guidance of the Lord through Brahman, through Guru, and through Shastra. And then I have this idea for microwave phones, so I create it. How's it going to affect Krishna's creation? How will it affect nature? And how will it affect human beings? Just throw it out there, you know, make money. And they're very, you know, half-baked experiments. It works, okay, sell it. The long-range effect, or even the immediate effect, deleterious effect, and harmful and destructive long-range effect. No research. Ah, koi, who cares, you know. People love to gab. Prajalpa is one of people are basically by nature have uncontrolled senses. That's why the very first step of spiritual progress in any line, gyan, yog, karma, or bhakti, the first step means control your tongue. Means you are what you eat. You eat dead meat, dead flesh, you are dead flesh, you're dead meat. You eat the product of violence and murder, you become full of violence and murderous and violent feelings. If I eat disease, food full of disease and infection, I'll get no disease. If I have a very good immunity system and I'm very powerful and strong, I get exposed to these antigens or whatever they call it, these germs, and I just throw them off. I fight them off with antibodies and defeat them. If you eat disease-ridden food and you eat it, you're finished. So eating animals and chickens and all these things, they're byproducts of ignorance. They're killed with anger. They're slaughtered. You think they're smiling and dancing when they're in the slaughterhouse? They're crying. Animals can cry. Porpoises can speak. Birds can cry. Cows can cry. And they know, and dying. Dying is not pleasurable for anybody. That's why preservation is the first law of nature. Every living entity runs from extinction, runs from a predator, runs from the enemy, runs from death because of fear. No one welcome. Yeah, come on, kill me, tiger. I'm a deer. Come on and kill me and eat me for lunch. I'm just waiting for to offer myself. They run to preserve their life because of fear. And then they're marched into the slaughterhouse, goats and chickens, and pong, slaughtered, crying, fearful. And all that fear and all that adrenaline, you know, this is basic medical. When one is fearful, a chemical called adrenaline, which is a poison, basically. It stimulates the muscles to such an extent, fight or flight. And then the flesh of that animal, bird, fish, whatever. I don't know about fish, they're kind of not very conscious, but all these birds and beasts, that all the flesh becomes full of adrenaline, which is saturated with fear of death. So then they kill it, and then you eat all that flesh, all that fear, all that violence, all that murderous feelings comes, it's in the flesh, and you are what you eat. Consciousness is mixed in the food. So what is the consciousness? Murder. So therefore, it contaminates your consciousness and your chitta with tamagun. That's why all acharyas, all yogis, they say, if you don't become a vegetarian, spiritual progress is impossible. Lord Jesus, from the Christians, he was a vegetarian, and his intimate disciples were all vegetarian. And they have the original followers of Jesus were called the Essenes, E-S-S-E-N-E-S. They have the Essene Bible, E-S-S-E-N-E, or Essenes, forget. And then they're all branches and this and that, just like Hindus were originally vegetarian. Now all Hindus eat meat and say, oh, we're Hindu, we worship Shiva, we eat meat, we worship Krishna, we eat meat. What is this? This is a concoction, mental concoction. This is not Hinduism. Hinduism is vegetarian-based. Buddhism is vegetarian-based. It's ahimsa. Everybody eats meat. All Buddhists eat meat. All Hindus eat meat. Yeah, I'm Hindu, Buddhist. I'm Krishna, I eat meat. McDonald's, hot dogs, hamburgers. This is all the alta buddhi, dura buddhi, because of murder and wrong activities. So Prabhupada is saying this, we, like Kunti, we depend on you. When we become proud and independent, then we're destined to stumble and fall and fail and create lots of problems in the world. So this is the basic idea here. Turn to God, maintain connection with God, then the creations will be God, will be touched by God. The government will be touched by God. The scientists will be touched by God. So they won't create any ungodly things. And people won't engage in murderous and sinful and deleterious and destructive creations. Because they'll say, wait a minute, this is a very powerful thing we discovered, atom bomb. Krishna says in the Gita, in the 16th chapter, in Asura Sampat, he says the demons engage in unbeneficial... The demons, those that are not connected with the glance of Lord, like most scientists who are completely atheistic for the most part, they engage in unbeneficial works which result in the destruction of humankind or destruction of the world. This is written 5,000 years ago in Gita, spoken by Bhagavan Sri Krishna. The demoniac asuras engage in unbeneficial, horrible works, creations, inventions, so-called scientific improvement, technology, home care, this, that, travel, which the result is destruction of the world. So we're destroying all the living entities, one species a day. No more this bird, no more that bird, no more this fish, no more that fish, no more this tiger, no more that tiger. Used to be 10 kinds of tigers, now there's one tiger and it's almost extinct. So this is, we're on a doomsday course. So Prabhupada is basically using the example of Kunti Devi to make it, this teachings of Kunti Devi, completely adhyatmik vichar, completely relevant to the modern man and woman, modern world, that listen, see her beautiful example. She's afraid. She's not afraid of death. She's afraid of losing connection with God, being disconnected from God. We're afraid of everything. Loss of money, tax man, death, calamities, terrorism. We have so many fears and phobias. But no one's afraid to be disconnected with God. And no one's afraid to be without the glance of the Lord. God, jeez, who needs him, man? I have my platinum card. I have my ATM card. What do I need? I am God. I am God. I have money. I'm CO, this, that, CO, BO, CO with BO. BO is American for body odor. You know, under here? This is the basic body odor. The CO has BO. Kobo. It's like that. So we'll stop if there's any questions. Because he's moving towards Krishna in reality. Many people have gurus and they're moving in the wrong direction because the people are not really representatives of Bhagavan. So although the people that follow these various charlatan, nuckly pseudo-gurus feel good about their life, and they feel that they also have received the blessings of God or Guru, they're actually ending up with nothing but some inner satisfaction and some mental peace, but it's simply a rearrangement of the modes of nature which they've obtained under the direction or guidance or association of a particular non-godly guru who is an expert psychologist or an expert analyst and an expert speaker who has received from previous lives, top and tapabalam, he's received the power, it's a siddhi, to control people by his speech. And I'm not going to mention any names, but there are many so-called self-made saints and gurus in this India and around the world who have accomplished what they've accomplished through the application of tantra, and through the application of the powers gained by austerity. So they are not really God men. They are not really empowered from God. They are empowered from Tantra, which means Durga, Shakti, etc. And people will not end up with God. They will take another birth. They're not on the Mukti path. The path of liberation is only the path of Bhagavan Upasana. If one is not engaged directly and fully in Bhagavan Upasana, worshipping Bhagavan, only Bhagavan can give mukti from this world of birth and death. Lord Vishnu, Lord Krishna, Lord Ram, these are Bhagavan. And one can get connected with Bhagavan through a Ram Bhakta Guru, or a Vishnu Bhakta Guru, or a Krishna Bhakta Guru. Outside of that, Shiva, Durga, Hanuman, no one can give mukti. So if you have a bona fide guru, you will be moving according to the depth of your surrender. That's how fast you will be moving towards realization of Bhagavan and the attainment of Bhagavan by receiving liberation at the end of your sojourn in this body. And there's also so many other little tangible proofs that because pride is such that we think I've done this on my own. I'm a self-made man. We have this ego, an idea that I am a self-made man, or say woman, whatever. I just use one gender, includes both. I have my fashion business. I'm a self-made woman. I'm a self-made man. I am a self-made sadhaka. My finesse and by my intelligence and by my youth and power, I am what I am. This is the general ego of everyone in the world. And this is, of course, illusion, and this is false. Because of our ego and because of our pride, we cannot actually understand and realize that every inch that we've progressed on a spiritual life is due to the causeless mercy of Guru, Vaishnavas, Hari Guru and Vaishnavas. But our pride does not allow us to see reality. Our pride does not allow us to see transcendental mercy. We hear the terms ahoituki kripa, causeless mercy. Oh, I have the mercy. He got the mercy. Oh, do I have the mercy? I don't have the mercy. No, it's me. I'm intelligent. And any advanced devotee, any advanced sadhaka will realize that I have nothing. I am nothing. In 1 second, if the mercy is withdrawn, if all the oxygen is withdrawn from your body, if 1 second your heart stops, you have a stroke, Haribo. So if the guru withdraws his mercy, there's no chanting, there's no anything. But we don't believe that, and we don't think that. Hey, come on, I've been chanting 2 rounds for 6 months, and still I'm hanging in there. You're hanging in there because of the compassion of the guru. He said chant 16, but you're chanting 2. Because you think look, mom, no hands, I'm riding the bicycle. So Guru is merciful. He loves the Shishya. Krishna is even more merciful. That's why he sends Guru. If Krishna wasn't merciful, he wouldn't send the Guru. So eventually, that mercy comes. The person says, wait a minute, I'm not doing that well. I'm a little disturbed. I better actually follow the orders of my guru and chant 16 rounds every day and read Bhagavad Gita like this. We go, it's a bell curve. We're really doing well. Then the independence rises up. Don't read for a few days, and a few days becomes a few weeks. And I don't have sadhusanga for a few days and a few weeks. I'm doing okay. I'm vegetarian. I don't hurt anybody. Hare Krishna, this, that. But actually, you're Bhakti Lata, is gradually whittling away. You're becoming more aggressive. You're not even understanding, but people around you are saying you're more aggressive. You're more angry. You're more agitated. That real deep inner peace you had and that mental satisfaction you had is starting to dissolve and evaporate. And you're starting to become a demon again. You're starting to become an animal again. Oh, I want food and I want sex. And hey, wait a minute. Am I still getting the mercy? Yeah, you're still getting the mercy. You haven't, gone off the deep end. But part of the mercy is you'll get some realization in your heart that I'm off. I'm really off. I've really become a sense enjoyer. And I had so much fortune in my hand, and I had such a tight connection with Guru. Now I've veered off the path, and I become a wayward child. And then we go to Gurudev and say, Gurudev, I'm in a mess, actually. Please bless me. He says, don't worry about it. Bhakti Baba too. Vaishnava Kripambhadu. The ocean, does the ocean ever dry up? The answer is no. Sanskrit for ocean is Ambudi. Ambudi. So Vaishnava Kripa Ambudi. The Vaishnava, any Vaishnava, it doesn't have to be official, I am Guru. Any Vaishnava, if he's a Vaishnava or she is a Vaishnavi, then she or he is an ocean of loving kindness and mercy. Otherwise, they're not a Vaishnava. Vaishnava means that devotion has manifested in the heart for Ram or Krishna or Vishnu. So one becomes loving and caring and compassionate for everyone. So he doesn't have to be XYZ sannyasi, XYZ guru, XYZ brahmachari. Doesn't have anything to do with Vaishnavism. Vaishnavism is alaukik, transcendental. We have names and designations and upadis, Vaishnav, Avaishnav, Advaitin, Dvaitin, Shaivite, Vaishnava. Let's give some kind of categorization. But the flow of bhakti is a transcendental phenomenon. When bhakti enters the heart, then one becomes transformed. And part of the transformation is he really cares about others and really loves others. So he's Vaishnava Kripambuddhi. So the ocean never dries up. So the ocean-like heart of mercy in the heart of a Vaishnava, the ocean-like mercy, the ocean of mercy in the heart of a Vaishnava never dries up either. Oh, you're in Maya. Oh, then Joe. A Vaishnava doesn't feel like that. What to speak of Guru? Guru's like the seven oceans. How many oceans are there? Five, seven? There are seven major oceans in this planet Earth. So maybe a Madhyam Vaishnav or a beginning Vaishnav, he's like one ocean. And a Madhyam Vaishnav has three oceans. And Uttam Vaishnav, or very elevated Bhava Bhakta, or Rasik Vaishnav, a pure devotee, he's like seven oceans. If that's how much mercy you need, then you really just jump in all those oceans. So that's why the Shastras and the Acharyas, they enjoin us and say, try to link up with the most advanced devotees you can find, which you had the intelligence also to do. But by associating with advanced, the basic principle we're saying is by associating with advanced devotees, more kripa and mercy will come into our heart. And then we can see what we have received and understand that we only have any standing in spiritual life because of mercy. I think all of you have heard the term Guru Kripa Hi Kevalam. Yes? So the Guru means, a Vaishnava is a Guru. Because Guru means someone who teaches you about God. So a Grihastha, Brahmachari, Sannyasi, they're Guru. Guru means heavy. Guru means to remove darkness. Gu means darkness. Guru means light, to remove the darkness. So any Vaishnava who loves Krishna or trying to love Krishna, he can remove your darkness. He can give you some deeper understanding. Any Vaishnava, he's an ATM. Anytime mercy. Someone who's taken Vaishnava Diksha in a proper parampara, he is a canal. You know, say canal. How do you say canal? Canal? He is a canal connected to the ocean of mercy in his guru's heart and his param guru's heart and paratara guru's heart. He is, I am nothing. What am I? I'm so and so, Mr. Gupta, this, that, Mr. Smith. But I'm this dhara, this current of mercy is coming down from above me, like the Ganga. Ganga comes in from Suraduni Ganga, then it's Alakananda Ganga, and it branches here, and the Brahmaputra River is a branch of the Ganga, goes through Bangladesh, and like this. So the river of consciousness, the river of mercy, the river of knowledge comes, that's not me. I'm not a self-made sadhaka. I'm not a self-made man. What I made was a mess. I made a mess of my life, a mess of my mind, a mess of my relationships. It's rather a slang word, but because of my independence and my foolishness and my misplaced intelligence and conceptions, by the mercy of my Guru, Srila Prabhupada, and my other divine guardians and well-wishers, we were able to put our lives together and make some sense of it and give it some proper shape and direction, which is hopefully will carry us to the proper destination of liberation, to the divine kingdom of love, Sridham Vrindavan, and we will find ourselves engaged in the eternal service of our Guru and his Sakhi Sarup, and Radha and Krishna and their divine Madhurya Leela pastimes and kunjas of Vrindavan. This is where our mind is thinking and meditating and fixed over there. And that is all the mercy of Guru and gurus. Gurus, whatever you say. So I'll stop there. Thank you very much for your attention. So thank you very much. Hare Krishna.